Blog Talk Radio.
It's November 2nd. Oh, yeah, we had snow on the ground. How about you? I told everybody it's coming. November 2nd. Welcome to another edition, special edition of the UAW Factory Whistle Show. We have Missy, Bob, and Scott and Jean, and a bunch of callers that I don't recognize. So somebody's got to let me know when they start this thing. Because I can't
be
on two different things.
I'm not seeing anything yet either.
Let me refresh just in case. Who's the dude in the hat, man? He's Vice President Boyer?
Yeah.
Well, they're late. They are late.
They are. I am trying.
Go ahead.
I'm not getting on Facebook yet either, so.
Okay.
So it just says the video will start soon.
And mine doesn't even say that. I hope I'm in the right. I'm on UAW.org.
Right.
And it says.
It can be viewed at the UAW YouTube channel, which if you click on
it. Live
that,
at 7
just,
o'clock.
Right.
This is YouTube channel, I think.
He's late.
Well, this, yeah. You know, the more I look at this contract, what I can find of it, I don't think it's that good.
There it is. I got it. You have to click on the link. When you go to UAW.org on their official YouTube channel, you'll see Powered by Restream, President Fine, Boyer.
I don't see it at all, Scott.
Are you on the UAW, the YouTube UAW page?
Well, let me see. Yeah. Hold on here.
The link I sent him.
Restream, it says, live?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And when the time comes.
I got it.
Toyota workers.
Can you
and
hear
all
it?
Non-union auto workers.
Yep.
Are going to be.
You can hear it?
Yes, sir.
Hello.
Okay. Oh, you're not yet members of our union? That pay raise Toyota is giving you is the UAW bump. UAW, that stands for you are welcome. You are welcome to join our stand-up movement. If this is what Toyota gives you when the big three stand up and fight, imagine what you could accomplish if you join the UAW and stand up and fight for yourselves. Our union just showed the world what's possible when workers unite to fight for more. We have created the threat of a good example, and now we're going to build on it. We just went on strike like we've never been on strike before and won a historic contract as a result. Now we're going to organize like we've never organized before so we can raise the standard everywhere, and that's going to take time. That's why we went into bargaining with Stellantis and demanded an expiration date of April 30th, 2028. Our goal is to come back to the table in 2028, a much stronger union, a much louder union, and a much larger union. So to auto workers everywhere, get ready to stand up. Everything we want in this contract was intended to prepare us for the fight at the next contract.
A divided union is a weak union. That is why we fought so hard on these issues that unite us, such as increasing wages. In this contract, we want record-breaking 25% pay increases. That's more than all the wages increases our union won over the last 22 years combined. It wasn't just the hourly members. We also won a historic raise for the salary bargaining unit. For decades, many salary bargaining unit members at Stellantis have felt like second-class citizens. This time, our national negotiators went into bargaining and united. We were clear. We were fighting for pay equity for everyone. For the first time in Stellantis history, we have won matching general wage increases for our salary bargaining unit. They will also receive a total of 25% in wage increases over the life of this contract. We also won cost of living, or COLA, for both salary and hourly workers. This will ensure that all of our wages keep up with inflation. When COLA is added in, we estimate that our wages will increase by 33%. When compounded by the end of the contract, by the end of our agreement, we estimate that our starting wage for production workers will increase by about 67%, from $18.04 to $30.10 an hour when combined with COLA. Similar, we estimate that our top wage will increase by about 33%, from $31.77 to $42.24 an hour. These are enormous gains, but we didn't just win on that issue. That unites us. We also defeated the company's attempts to divide us, such as a lower wage tier at Mopar. For decades, members of Mopar have worked at significantly lower wages to the production workers. That comes to an end in this contract. At ratification, Mopar members will immediately move over to the production wage scale. Mopar members will see immediately raises of up to 76%. A member with 3-year seniority at a Mopar facility will upon ratification, go from $20 an hour to $35.26 an hour. That is life-changing. We do have to face some hard choices at Mopar facilities, though. The company came to us and said they could grow Mopar or they could consolidate Mopar. Some of our Mopar hubs and gain jobs or not consolidate and lose Mopar jobs. It wasn't an easy choice or decision, but we took the consolidation plan, which came with a guarantee of job security moving forward and the right to negotiate enhanced moving bonuses beyond the $37,500 that we've already secured. Killing the wage tier and winning another additional job security, enhanced moving bonuses, should mean our Mopar members will still come out way ahead of where we were. Though it will mean some discomfort.
Another wage tier that was effectively eliminated is the endless abuse of so-called supplemental employees. Temps have long been our lowest paid members. The company hires thousands of them. They treat them like dirt, and they pay them poverty wages. We put an end to that in this agreement. At Stellantis, we want the immediate conversion of thousands of temps to full-time upon ratification. The rest of the current temp workers will be converted when they achieve 9 months. Going forward, no one will remain a temp for more than 9 months before getting flipped to full-time in progression. And those 9 months will count to their progression. So they'll still make top rate after 3 years. In short, the era of perma-temps is over. Thanks to the power of our strike, the lowest paid temps at Stellantis will see 168% raise through this agreement, rising from $15.78 an hour to over $42 an hour with cost of living allowance. Temps will also receive sub, profit sharing, and other benefits for the first time. Thousands of supplemental workers at Stellantis will benefit from this agreement. In fact, this tentative agreement has more money in gains for current supplemental employees than the entire value of all the gains for all members in the 2019 agreement. Another pot sweetener is that all UAW members will receive a $5,000 ratification bonus. The economic gains in this contract are so incredible that some company analysts and pundits have tried to spread fear that the big three will try to walk away from their product commitments. That's why we made it a top priority to win the right to strike over plant closings, outsourcing of existing core jobs, and product and investment commitments. These are historic wins that will give us an unprecedented power to fight back against plant closures and job loss. We have gone from seeing Stellantis' footprint shrink in the United States to gaining the leverage to grow our plants and our membership. Going into these negotiations, the company was explicit. They wanted to shrink the company's footprint, killing 5,000 jobs. Their plan was to cut, cut, and cut. But we had a different plan. We knew that record profits meant record contracts. That's why we pushed the company to not only stop job cuts, but add 5,000 more jobs under our agreement. And the right to strike means we can protect these jobs with our most powerful tool. We forced the company to change course at places like Trenton Engine and Toledo Machining, where they wanted to cut. We made them invest. And for the first time in a long time, we've done the unthinkable. Reopened a plant. We didn't do it by begging the company or agreeing to work terrible hours or take a pay cut or pursue a race to the bottom. We didn't do it by giving back. We did it by fighting back.
You all know the story of Belvedere Assembly. There are many stories like it. The company closes a profitable plant. It tears a small town apart, and it uproots entire families. For years, there was supposedly nothing we could do about it. We went into these negotiations knowing that we had a duty to save Belvedere. And UAW family, we did exactly that. Less than a year ago, the company announced its plans to indefinitely idle Belvedere Assembly. Over thousands of our members and their families were preparing to walk that lonely path that say so many have walked before them. They would be scattered across this country.
It has frozen. Hold on. Let's see if we can refresh it. And
I wouldn't. It froze.
It's froze.
It
I just refreshed it.
Both.
I love it. Damn.
Those who were forced to relocate from Belvedere when it was idled will have flowback rights. Members who remained in Belvedere will be put on temporary layoff, which will restore their access to sub and applicable health care until they have a job available in Belvedere. Our Belvedere members are coming home. Families can reunite. The community can breathe a sigh of relief. That's what we mean by saving the American dream. Not only have we saved Belvedere, we've shown that these companies can reopen plants if we unite and fight to force them to. But we didn't only win a new product in Belvedere. We called it the stand-up strike as an echo of our union's founding victory, the sit-down strike. We wanted to reach back to our roots and revive the fighting spirit of Flint in the 1930s. But we were also looking to the future. Right now, our industry is undergoing a historic transformation. In a time of record inequality, where the auto industry is rapidly changing, we're building a fighting union that can set a new standard. We know we have to secure our jobs in an electric vehicle future. We have to make sure that green jobs will be good jobs. And we have to stop the forces of corporate greed from making the EV transition a race to the bottom. So when Stellantis told us they had plans to form a joint venture battery plant at Belvedere, we fought hard to make sure those would be UAW jobs under our UAW national agreement. Under the agreement we reached with Stellantis, all employees who work for the future joint venture will be employed by Stellantis and leased to the joint venture. This means they'll fall under our national agreement. The significance of this cannot be overstated. For any current UAW members at Stellantis who transfer into jobs, they will bring with them all of their pay, benefits, and seniority. That includes our former members from Belvedere who want to return home. New hires who don't transfer in will start at 75% of the max rate of pay under our national agreement. That's over $26 an hour immediately in an industry that's currently trying to pay a fraction of that. And that will grow over time to over $30 an hour by the end of the contract. Having this work under our national agreement will mean that the next time we go to the table, we can fight together to push those wages up to our top rate. Having this work under our national agreement is critical to the future of our industry and the union. Wherever this industry goes, the UAW is going with it. And we're bringing the standards we fought for to the EV transition. That's the future of this industry. Now let's talk about our futures.
There was a time when working at the Big Three meant a secure retirement. In the Great Recession, the auto companies gutted our retirement and divided us with the two-tier system. Well, we fell short winning a pension back for all of you and all of our members. But what we did get were billions in our retirement accounts for all of our members, including gains we haven't seen in 15 years or more. Due to 401k's increases and historic wage increases, in progression members will receive between 72 to 142% increases in company 401k's. Contributions by the end of this agreement. Those who still have a pension got a boost too, with a $5 added to the multiplier. And we won for current retirees, bring back the annual $500 bonus. That annual $500 bonus is not only for current retirees, but also surviving spouses. I think that captures what we tried to do in these negotiations. Win big for everyone, and win even more for those who we left behind.
At the bargaining table, we spoke passionately about how many of our members can't afford to buy the vehicles we build. Just visit Sterling Heights Assembly Plant or Jefferson North Assembly Plant on any weekday morning before the start of the shift, and you'll see a line of vehicles for UAW members who need a ride to work. Or drive through the parking lot and see the cars that are parked there. They aren't new. The company heard us, and we're excited to announce we have won the first car lease program in Big Three history. The same lease program enjoyed by Stellantis managers will now be extended to UAW members.
Under this program, UAW members with a minimum of 2 years of employment will have access to significantly discounted leases on Stellantis vehicles. There's no credit check, registration and plates and insurance, 24/7 roadside assistance are all included. Routine maintenance such as oil changes are also covered. There are unlimited miles on these leases programs, and those members will qualify for a new vehicle every year. We took our issues to the table and found creative solutions.
We also made a point of undoing decades of damage done by Big Three corporate greed, and we focused on what would unite us across our divisions. But it was never just about winning big right now. We also needed to rebuild the foundation of our union, our unity, our fighting spirit, and our strike muscle. This is the most lucrative contract our union has won in decades. These contracts are so good, even non-union auto workers are getting a raise. Terrified auto executives across the country are rushing to give their own employees raises in the hopes of fending off the UAW. But what the bosses always fail to remember is that the choice to fight for a better future belongs to the workers. Toyota's future won't be determined in the boardrooms. It'll be determined on the plant floor. It will be determined by working class families sitting around the kitchen table. And the same is true for these Big Three contracts. Rich and I are bringing this contract to you because we wholeheartedly believe we squeezed every dime possible out of the company. But what happens next is up to all of you. You have the final say. So now is the time for debate and discussion. And no matter the outcome, we will move forward together as a united UAW. There's a lot more in this agreement. So for more information, including your highlighter and white book, please go to uaw.org/Stellantis2023.
And remember, UAW family, an open hand can be broken, but a closed fist in unity cannot.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're back live. Almost live.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to get to the highlights page, and they are not available yet.
No, they're not.
No, I've been clicking. I've been trying.
Wow.
No.
Was anybody else reading the comments?
No, I didn't.
A lot of unhappy people.
Well, instead of the lease program, why don't they give us a traditional discount if you get back to the set off, but 50 or 15 feet off option. It's stick to it.
You're going to have to talk up, buddy.
I said, instead of the lease program, which benefits the corporation in a lot of ways because you're paying a lease, I said, why don't they go back to our traditional discount, which was 15% off base, 18% off options?
Yep.
This ain't doing me a favor. I don't want to lease a vehicle every year. I mean, I'd rather go back to my old program and guarantee that I could do it because they pick and choose now what they're going to give you for your discount.
Oh, yeah.
And all these highlights, me and Scott were talking the other day, and all the big three are stuff that they've been giving back since the late 80s. You know, the extra week's vacation, the $500 Christmas bonus, they used to call it. That's all concessionary stuff that all they did is get it back. They didn't gain it. We had already lost it.
Somebody just wrote on here, it looks like critical plant status is still there. Work balance my ass. He sits there and talks about plants working 7 days, but yet it's still there. Okay. And tears are still there, especially for newer people that are not grandfathered in.
Well, I got another comment from a different Facebook page. It says, John Deere sent the tentative agreement back 2 times before they got their pension back. So we know what we need to do.
We were also talking about, you know, I had kind of an epiphany, Don. I was sitting there and I kept getting thrown in my face. Well, I'm getting $11 an hour raise. And I said, finally it dawned on me. I says, well, I'm making $75 an hour with my benefits package with this new contract. You're going to make $44 with everything they're offering you. And that's all you'll ever make. They can't take away what I had. So you know what? You'll never catch me regardless. So you still have a two-tier system.
That's right. Wake up. Damn. Yeah, I was looking over some stuff today. It's not as good as it sounds. That's for damn sure. I mean, it's
right.
Better than what 2019. But, yeah, and I got an email, and Gerald, I'm going to, since it was to me, I won't read it because there's too many swear. He swears at me all over this thing. He's blaming UAW workers for the price of vehicles going up every year. Well, Gerald, until 2019, these folks hadn't had a raise in how many years, Scott?
13.
Well, yeah, at least
17 years. 17 years.
And they kept
in 19 contract, we got an 87-cent base wage raise.
Right. And I'll say a quarter of the people don't even make half the money. So don't blame it on the workers for the price of the vehicle. It's the greed of the company. They kept raising. And they get a lot of their parts from overseas. Scab, you know, cheap labor. Our springs on a truck comes from Mexico. So don't blame it on the workers because they're just getting what they should have got a long time ago. And they should be making more like $50 an hour or more. I like to know what the medical, you know, your Blue Cross, Blue Shield. I want to know some certain things about that. Did they take anything away? They seem to take something away about every 4 years.
They kept saying that our medical benefits, there was zero changes.
Zero?
Yeah, that's what they said. They were going to maintain our current medical changes, at least under what I've read under proposals from all three.
Well, that's good. They could have made it a little better. But And I'm looking at some of these comments.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
What I read about GM, GM was supposed to go to zero deductibles. So there were no deductibles, no office call deductibles, et cetera.
Oh, okay. Jimmy, you're on? Sorry, I wasn't on the switchboard. I was looking at comments. I think that's, well, 989. I think that's Jimmy's number.
Yes, Don, you were talking about the labor costs on a vehicle. If I remember right, the price of the truck in 2021, only 4% of that, am I correct, Scott, was direct labor?
Yep. That's what it was.
That's right.
Yeah, I couldn't think of
that.
Yeah,
on labor, then you're barking up the wrong dog.
Yeah,
you don't know what else to say that, but I think Scott hit on a key thing that when he noted to everybody, remember, John Deere had to stand ground not once, not twice, but the third time they got the candy cane. We want equality. At least I want equality. I don't want the words tears anywhere. I don't care if it's between, there is no more tears in pay or like they claim. We got to get rid of the division, people.
That's right.
They've virtually made that impossible. No matter what, I mean, you might as well, they're telling us basically if we go on strike, like you're saying, that we'd have to do, or, you know, corporation by corporation, Chrysler, Ford, and GM all at the same time, you know, to get them the equality, you're going to have to get them a pension and health care. And you already know you're not going to get them both. They'd rather close the door with the guaranteed work aspect of it and the provisions of that part of the contract. They'd take that away again and just say, screw it, we'll move to Mexico.
Did they get post-retirement health care for the new people? Last I've seen, when they get screwed, people, wake the hell up. When you go to retire, you don't have a pension plan to fall on. You're considered voluntary quit. Guess what? You don't have health care no more.
Yeah, and we all know that, and try to pound that through your head when they're saying that they're throwing, I'm making $11 an hour more than you, or I'm getting an $11 an hour raise. They're putting a carrot in front of their face, and these people don't know any better. And unfortunately, unless we all get out there and educate them on how they're really getting screwed, they're going to vote yes, because they don't take the time to read the white pages. They see money. Okay. The Tennessee Spring Hill plant, they want to talk about not doing or doing away with tiers. I'm curious to know if in Tennessee, where they have the core, non-core concept, because GM went to that there, where if you're a fork truck driver, your max pay is maybe $23 an hour. I don't know what the exact numbers are, guys. That's your max pay. If you're on door line, building the doors for the vehicle, you're at $23 an hour. The only people making our rate of pay are the people on chassis line after marriage. Okay, they are considered GM employees, and they make top pay. So they went to the core, non-core aspect. Is that plant going to be rolled into where you have one of their bigger plants at 4,000-something workers? Are they going to make them all equal pay? I didn't hear a damn thing about that. I know, but it's things that when they're talking core and non-core and everybody making the same wage with the EV plants and whatnot, this all falls in the line.
I don't know what
yes,
to think.
Yes, it does.
It sucks. I don't know what to think. I know what you're saying. We always, in the past histories, we've all taken the carrot, if you want to know the humble truth and facts. But we also know when we have, we now know what it's got us. I also, like I said, I put it out there today. You know, you keep taking away from the retiree. One day we're all going to get there. Well, hell, these kids aren't going to get there. They ain't going to have no health care. I guess they're going to work until they fall over, because I don't see where your Social Security is going to cover that expense. Hell, I need them both to survive with Biden. I hate to say it that way, but it's a goddamn truth.
Right. Right. It is. You know, I mean, where we're at right now, it's ridiculous. I mean, we all thought that we all had a defining moment. Use them words, a defining moment. The defining moment has fallen short of the expectations. You know, there's a few people out there that are saying yes, yes, yes. I'm looking for one to share with you. All right, so this is a brother who works up in Bay City. Signing bonus for Ford is $5,000. Not too often you get boned on the signing bonus and on the raises. 11% or $3.34 an hour raise to start. No cost of living recoup bonus. This contract fucking sucks. We lost 16% wage gains to lump sum bullshit raises the last two contracts and 30% COLA since 2008. That's 46%. And that's without any decent raises since 08. Toyota does better without a fucking union. Fain caved.
Well said.
Yeah.
And factual.
What gets me is Local 900 voted for 24 hours. They passed their local passed the national by 82%. So I have people from KPAC says, from my understanding, KPAC is first. Very limited informational meeting time for local that has 9,000 members and a 12-hour vote time span, November 5th. This person says, yeah, I'm at KPAC, which is Kentucky Truck Assembly Plant, Local 249. I don't know whose idea this was, but we vote Sunday the 5th from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., and our informational meeting is at 1 p.m. the same exact day. Makes no fucking sense. It appears so far that this is a ram through contract.
Scott, did they not do that at Local 900? I'm told Local 900 was voting before their rollout.
Yes, they did. There was two locals or three locals at Ford that did that. But this is a ram through, folks. When they present here's your informational meeting, now go vote. That's a ram through. We were told that we were going to be given time to absorb this. It appears some places for Stellantis, they're going to wait 6 days from the time they roll out the vote. So I have 6 days to look at this stuff. We don't know what General Motors is going to do. It's hard telling right now, or what the GM department's going to do. So on Ford, it looks like it's a ram through. It's an awful lot of money getting thrown at this thing up front. And for all of us on this show, we've been saying it for years. If there's a lot of money up front, be careful. It's hiding something.
That's how it's always been, isn't it?
Well, and they give you a four and a half year contract states that in that case, that's an extra half year you're donating to the company that you're not going to get a raise.
Right.
You're going to be working a half year under the last previous raise that was, you know, 18 months ago. So they're getting a free 6 months.
Actually, 8 months. It's 4.8 years. And I'm going to say this because this covers all three. It covers Ford, Stellantis, and General Motors. If you wanted to end the contract on April 30th, why not do it in 3.8 years instead of 4.8 years?
Right. Yeah. Well, we talked about it a few years ago, Scott, that they probably will end up going 5 years.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. B.L. Rose wrote in the chat room, pages are available on UAW.org. Then look under the big three in the tab on the right.
Well, thank you. I kept putting in UAW.org/Stellantis 2023, and it kept coming up, page not found. I followed their link.
You always follow a work.
Sure, but I'm sure. I am almost positive there's a gazillion people trying to download that highlighter right now.
Yeah, probably. 313, you're on.
A little bit busy. Hello, 313.
We got a lot of people on the switchboard. If you want to get on, push one on your keypad. I can't follow. There's about 40-something in here.
Hey, Don.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Doing all right. I've already uploaded all the downloadable PDFs, and I'm pushing it across social media as we speak.
Why, thank you.
For the tentative agreements, yep.
And did I forget to tell you the show starts at 7? I might have missed.
Oh, yeah.
I might have forgot to tell
actually,
you that.
I've been listening. Since the start. But I got on after the live was over. I was watching it on YouTube.
See, when I see your phone number in my on my switchboard, then I know you punched in. I don't know if you were listening or not. So,
hey, am I getting paid?
You're going to get paid. You're going to get something.
You're going to get a knuckle sandwich is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Careful. Hey, so I'm agreeing with everything that's said at this point. This is a push-through contract with the glamour top, and what I'm seeing, in my opinion, is our strike. Everything was very well coordinated. Yes, there is some good to this contract. Well, that good has to be a campaign, not to just sell to the lowest tier, but when you throw up graphs selling to the lowest tier to bring the wage tiers to a close, you're also campaigning for future organizing. So we are paying the price with this contract. This contract is very clear that we're just following the democratic process, so that doesn't cause upheaval and make national headlines or world headlines. So we're following the democratic process, but it very much appears that this is a signed, sealed, and delivered contract. Because if it doesn't get passed, it's going to be a negative mark for future organizing. Not only that, but it's going to cause a decision to be made by international what we do next, whether it's stay working or go back to the table and put us out on strike, which I don't see that happening, because you don't put everybody back to work, give a 2-week timeline, which is not much more than what everybody's been out, to get this done. And in my opinion,
there's more of them than there is us, Jesse, so they're going to vote for that $11 pay raise is what they're counting on. And then the other greedy fools that want the signing bonus and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, they rammed it right through. Did you get KY? I don't know. Most of the time I did, and I don't think Don did. I heard him squeal a couple times.
Very
you
loud.
You know, I've been open-minded about this entire process, as we've been being asked to do. Have faith. Being open-minded. Well, blind faith is not what I've had, but what I am seeing and what I feel that I'm observing with us going back to work, you know, I tried thinking about pros and cons and reasoning behind that, and some of it was at face value. You know, people want to get back to work. Maybe it'll allow more brothers and sisters to be able to communicate closer, because when you're out on the strike line, you're pretty much on different shifts. You're not, you know, not everybody's on social media, so they're not communicating with workers on a larger scale where you can do that when you're back at work. And but then I thought about it the next day, and I thought, well, the way all these economic packages are not deviating whatsoever, and then you start looking at the low lights, even for the Ford contract, we got more to come with, you know, going through the Solanas tentative agreement, and then tomorrow GM's tentative agreement. But it appears to me that maybe going back to work was to not allow easy access from the media to the worker to get people's thoughts, true thoughts on what they're finding in the tentative agreement. So that's going to leave it up to certain organizations that are anti-union to push that rhetoric on everybody, as opposed to hearing it authentically from workers. So this talk about, you know, it's our choice what we do next, we're the ultimate authority, it sure is not sounding like that, and it does not look that way.
Well, not to be the white elephant in the room, but the only people getting rich off of this again is the UAW International Union, because they want to organize more workers, whether it's your Toyota, your Honda, and whatnot. Okay, because more members means more money in their coffer. It doesn't do anything for us right now. And if you bring back workers back to strike, what do? You get more union dues right off the bat, and you rebuild your strike fund and whatever else.
Hey,
you don't
Jimmy.
Yep.
To piggyback on what you said, it's also, by the time everything is said and done, you're going to be about a week before Thanksgiving. And
yep. And also,
and then people are looking at that. In 2019, they starved the temporaries with a 250
yep.
week pay, and a lot of them, you know, were making it barely paycheck to paycheck. And that 250 was starving them, literally. They starved them into a yes vote in 2019. This time, they're tantalizing them with highly increasing their pay, and they've left the traditional workers out as far as their pay and their pensions, and they have not created the health care after retirement for all, and they have not created any other pension for the other or for the lower tier either. So they've done is created more animosity and more division between the two groups of people. You
have
watch
any
all
of
the social media.
Look at the language that Ford has in there for that new temp worker that only works 32 hours a week. Look at
yep.
that language. They're going to backdoor your overtime with that language.
Hmm.
And Scott and I were talking about what Adrian had brought up, being Michigan, if you work 32 hours or more, you're considered full-time.
And also
we were looking into that.
Did you look in the Ford contract where if you take a say I go on vacation Wednesday to Wednesday, I work Saturday when I come back, it's straight time.
Yeah.
Even though my vacation day covered me for an excused absence, so if you take a day off and go to the doctor, what have you, on vacation, and you work that Saturday, folks, you're working for straight time. Yeah, even
wow.
straight time. So this is a lose-lose. We needed overtime after 8.
Yeah.
You need to vote this sumbitch down, send him back, and hope like hell he sends us out. Because if he sends us back out, maybe they'll think a little quicker. Don't let us sit there and build shit on an old contract.
Wow. Back to the 32 hours. Scott and I were looking into that.
I didn't
and,
know that.
And because it is a negotiated, it's under a negotiated contract, it does not apply to the law.
Right. And it also says they have a right to the whole Ford agreement. They can renegotiate that without going back to the membership for a vote to open the contract. So it's basically a living agreement, in my humble opinion.
But
it states
yeah.
clearly it's a living agreement. It states
yeah.
very clearly. It says this is a living agreement.
Wow.
What's stating a living agreement, and where is that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
In the contract, it states that it is a living agreement. And that
whose
both
contract,
parties
though? Stellantis?
Ford, because that's the only
oh.
one we've actually been able to look into the white pages of at this point.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Stellantis from the because of the
Well, we haven't got the white pages to be able to verify there, but more than likely, if it's in Ford, it's going to be in Stellantis, and it's going to be in GM.
Oh, okay. They're on the factory whistle group page now.
Okay.
And just so you guys know, I mean, they're in the common major groups, and then anyway, and on the Factory Whistle and some other Slanus related groups.
Hey, wow. Kind of.
There's actually two different PDFs for that, but the second one, I already downloaded. I'll put that on after the show. I'll put that out. But the hourly one, the hourly production and maintenance PDF tentative agreements out there.
There was one group left out of the COLA game. The retirees.
Yeah, and they also took out AIF and one other contributing factor, the cost of fuel. That's no longer figured in the equation that used to be in the equation of our COLA. It's not
right.
The same thing.
And again, I can only say, oh, go ahead.
Does anybody know how they're going to figure COLA? You can do that a few different ways. I mean, you can figure it where it's going to benefit the worker, or you can do it where it's not going to benefit the worker.
They're going to – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
They're going to use the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Okay.
Equation, I believe, if I'm mistaken.
I believe that's how they did it before.
Minus the factor of fuel, Don.
Yeah.
Yep, they're not going to take fuel. It was fuel and something else, Scott. Do you remember what was it? I don't remember. There was two things, fuel and something else. I almost want to
for
say
what?
Medical. I want to bite my tongue saying that one.
I have some COLA language here on the Ford one. Again, everybody just got access within less than an hour to the PDF for Stellantis, but I do have COLA language that for Ford. An employee's COLA payment will be provided based on the following tables. It talks about the months throughout the contract, when it gets revised quarterly. But anyway, it says for each quarterly adjustments to the cost of living allowance during the term of the agreement, the amount of increase payable to employee shall be reduced by 10 cents or by the amount of the increase, whichever is less. The rationale for the aforementioned reduction in cost of living allowance is provided for the company incurred inflationary costs associated with health care. The sum of the diversions during this period will continue into perpetuity. Thank you. All right. End of contract fold-in of cost of living allowance into base hourly rate. Effective pay ending April 30th, 2028, 5 cents will be subtracted from the March 2028 cost of living allowance, and the remainder shall be added to the base hourly rate for each classification, including minimum and maximum rate for spread rate classifications. The 5 cents shall remain as the new beginning cost of living allowance float for the next collective bargaining agreement. And this, again, this is for the Ford tentative agreement, and it's on page 35A or paragraph 35A. I don't know how they do this AB with the numbers, but it's 35A. It looks like it's under Article 9 in the tentative agreement, but... Page 35A for the COLA language. So it kind of sounded, to me, what I took from that was, great, there's COLA, we know that. However, at some point, you're giving up a little bit to pay for the cost of the company doing business. That's what I gathered from it, that the employee will incur the company's part on doing business and you're paying for the inflationary costs for the health care.
Right. So you start out with a dime, they're going to take a dime or 12 cents. They're going to take a dime back. It leaves you with 2 cents. 2 cents, $4 a week, $4.08 a week, something like that.
Let me get.
No, you're getting back a concession. You're getting back a concession from 2008, whatever you want to call it. So you're getting that back. So it's really not a gain because all companies have agreed that, or and the UAW that this was a suspended, not given up, but a suspended COLA. So you're just putting it back into the contract, and then you're negotiating a concession for the company to give you that back in the contract from it being suspended, not necessarily lost. Does anybody disagree or can explain anything different?
I don't know. Let me get Adrian on. She's been waiting. Adrian, welcome.
Hello. Good evening, everyone.
Sorry,
I was a little busy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm a little busy going through through this tentative agreement and trying to write up some stuff here.
Did you notice, or I could have been seeing things, but there was a tier that it goes from 15 something an hour to 19 something an hour in 4 years. It was less than a $4 raise. Did anybody catch that?
What were you looking at?
His
pull out.
Let me see if I can rewind some of this and see if I can find it.
When I printed out the four tentative agreement, I'm really kind of pissed off because on this part, you want to talk about percentages. And then over here on this part, you want to talk about dollars. And it can be very confusing.
Wow.
Because it'll make you look like you're getting something and you ain't getting a damn thing.
Oh, man.
I read this thing earlier today and I tried to take a nap.
It wouldn't give you a headache.
Like, I need to take a nap so I can refresh myself because I know that this is just not right. And I couldn't sleep. I could just sleep.
Yeah, and you're trying to hide something. That's the way to do it.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
Most of us on this show are old enough to remember this. I'm telling you right now, I know what they wrote that highlight with. They wrote that with that Acme disappearing ink.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember the Acme. Oh, boy.
And Appendix J. While we're talking about Ford real quick, Appendix J looks like it's moved forward into this contract too. Changes. Let's see if I can find that. Appendix J basically says that the contract's a living agreement. When did you retire, Adrian? I forgot.
2018.
Okay, so Appendix J was on the contract. Right?
I couldn't tell you.
I think so.
You know what? Because I cleared all of that stuff off my head for a while.
Oh, I don't blame you.
No, I don't either.
I don't blame you a bit.
I'm getting ready to do it again. I'm a little tired, okay? And I haven't been doing this as long as a lot of others. But when you're trying to give knowledge, and when you're given the knowledge, you also, it's factual where you can go and check behind and see if the facts have really been told to you. And members are not paying attention, you get real tired after a while.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, why am I doing this? I'm not doing it for me. I'm retired.
Right. Oh, I found this. Immediate increases, full-time supplemental employee with 90 days. Where'd it go? Hold on. It just disappeared on me. 28. After full pay. They start at 1578. 1 year, first year, they get 1666. Adrian, you're going to have to mute your phone for a minute. Mute your phone for a second. There you go. First year, 1666. Second year, 1753. The third year, 1841. And then the fourth year, 1928. That's not even... that's crazy.
What happened to the $21 an hour new starting wage for new hires? Or, you know, new temps and whatnot?
Oh, hold on. I might be seeing this whole thing wrong. Tentative agreement. Okay, we're 3 year. That's 3 year progression. First year, they get a, yeah, well, I don't know. They start at 2468. Then they, third year, they go up to 3526. Okay, that's $11 in 3 years. Not quite 11. It's 10 something. Oh, this will pass by a long shot. These kids, these young people see that, they're going to just go cockeyed. I bet everything gets passed by 80-something percent.
I kind of agree with you on that, Don. And if there's any younger people out here listening to this show, let me remind you something. In the UAW Constitution, Article 2, under the objects, Section 1, to improve working conditions, to create a uniform system of shorter hours, higher wages, health care, and pensions, to maintain and protect the interests of workers under the jurisdiction of this international union. We come back to the language again, don't we?
And the language
so why
is very
the negotiators,
important.
Yeah, why would the negotiators and the VPs sell the membership short by not following the Constitution?
That is a great question. You have allowed, still have division amongst the members, and now they are fighting amongst themselves. That's what has been created.
Like I stated, guys, the epiphany I had was no matter what, you're going to have a two-tier system. They can never catch me. Due to the fact that they violated the Constitution by giving me a pension and health care when I retire, which boosts my overall hourly package, as the media puts it, to over $67 an hour. Okay, and the only one that's going to gain on this is the international union's coffer. Okay, because they're going to organize and say, look what we did again.
Also,
and it's very important that we become a business.
They left the signing bonus there for the Vegas cut, Scott. Yeah, you're getting $5,000, what is it? But then the union's going to take a chunk of that after you pay the taxes on it. That's what I call the Vegas cut. So there again, you're getting after this baby's ratified, they're going to come down to the union hall, or the Solidarity House. There's going to be a brown paper bag of cash that they don't even have to pay taxes on. Think about that. That's a lot of money coming in all at once. But, you know, again, why do they get to take something that they bargained for us and they get a percentage of
paid
it?
For it?
Why do we get why do we got to give a concession to COLA, which is something they bought? The company even admitted it was suspended. So now to get it back and for them to put it in, now I got to fund all this shit? I don't know. I smell shit, people. Send them out. I'm sorry. I know I can't vote. I shouldn't say that. Well, yeah.
It appears to me in general that that there's way too much, flexibility for these companies. And if this is our defining moment, in my opinion, with not ending tiers, stop the bullshit of saying ending wage tiers. No, we demanded to end tiers. We've been doing that more than just this contract. The contract signs for campaigning to the world, because that's what's been going on out in public social media and on national media. End tiers. Nowhere does it stand a sign end wage tiers. So we spoke and we're not being listened to. End tiers, period. You throw the money out there big in the media, and then let's just say this democratic process actually wouldn't be interfered with on, you know, giving us proper information and voting on, and let's say it's these contracts were turned down. Then what? Because right now, looking at the tentative agreement, there's, you know, for Ford, and then hearing that the wage fringe benefits package is pretty much rolling out identical across the big three. Let's just understand it's not going to be any different tomorrow for GM. I can see that already. So not ending tiers, if this doesn't, none of these contracts pass, then what? Thing is, they've already passed without us needing to pass them, because we, in my opinion, we've been used to pretty much do a long-ass campaign for future bargaining, like I said earlier. That's what it appears to be, is that we were used to do a national and global campaign for future bargaining.
My bitch is right now is, think about this. Not only were you used, but he lied to everybody openly in public about ending tiers and discrimination and all that shit. I wish these people would do one thing. Realize we were the ones that fought for 2 days at our convention to raise the strike fund so you people wouldn't be starving to death at $250. We knew this shit was coming. I was down there every day but one. So don't tell me what happened. In fact, I got 2 fucking parking tickets. Excuse my French. I hate that town. But anyway. So anyway, but yes, that's why we fought so hard to get it where it was. And is. In fact, when I left the one day, they had taken it back away. You remember that, Adrian? They pulled
That's
it
right.
back off the table. They pulled it back off the table on it, or they put it on the table. And it, I can't. That might have been Stephanie that pushed the issue to bring it back off the table. But whoever it was, I want to thank them. But
yeah.
Understand, you people. Don't take this cookie. Wait. You got $500. You ain't starving. I know it's a bitch. It's a bitch for all of us. But don't take this cookie. Don't take this donut. Make them go back to the table. How would you like to be like the guy talking, looking at it when he's all said and done? He's going to be getting, what'd you say, $68 an hour? Brother, take it from here. You're the future of the company if they follow your path and what we suggest and get a pension. And dignity and equality. End of story.
And health care.
Right.
And they do offer, I got a hard copy in my end of the highlights. It's called the Incentive Plan for Retirement on this one. And it will be for $50,000, just like it was at Ford, except they expanded it. It's for an unlimited number of eligible production and skilled trades members. Package will be offered in 2024 and in 2026.
2026.
Okay.
Wow, that's a long way away.
Well, it says next year and then again in 2 years after that. Let me tell you why I think that is, in my opinion. Because they've already forecasted out how many people are already eligible to retire 30 years or more and how many people are going to be again in 2026 who are going to be eligible to retire again. Mark my words. They're trying to get the and I'm disappointed that our own union, the UAW, is referring to us as legacy workers. Stop insulting us. The traditional worker, seniority worker, either one of those will work. So they're forecasting that out to how many of those people are going to be eligible to retire. That's why those are those years.
Actually, that's a benefit to the, actually under the current situation, that's a benefit to the company to go unlimited now, because when they get rid of us, traditional, legacy, whatever you want to call us, old school employees, it takes our bargaining power away. Because how quickly they forget what we had.
Hear.
They've never gone unlimited on that number. They've always had a maximum amount of skilled trades could walk out and a maximum number of production. Now they're going unlimited because they want to get that 40% down to 20%.
Yep.
Then they're guaranteed to pass a contract every time by waving carrots.
Yep.
Food for thought for those listening. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it was also limited as to how many per facility,
right.
Those buyouts. So, yeah, they're really trying to get everybody out, but here's the thing about getting you out. Then you can't vote on the contract. And they know that what's left there mostly don't read, and all they're looking at is dollar signs.
Absolutely.
That is right.
The simple fact of the matter is knowledge is power. Absolute knowledge is absolute power. Okay, when they get rid of all the knowledge of past agreements, they start from fresh. And if we ain't there to help these people and do what we think is right and try and make them understand, then the company, you know, has no history. They have no history to go back on. You know, I mean, and history repeats itself. We'll be starting all over from the 30s again before long.
You're damn near there now, man. When I tell you guys about the PPH days and how the, you know, your doctor used to get you covered whether you had a vacation day or not. Now you use a doctor's note and you end up in the attendance program. Hell, I know people. I know a guy that got fired while his wife died at the hospital, and that's no bullshit.
Wow.
Because he turned around and went back to the hospital to be with his wife. She died. He called at 3:30 in the morning to tell him, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, I didn't make it in, you know, because he was just, when he got the call, he was driving to work and he just turned around. He didn't do his calling like he was supposed to. But they wouldn't excuse the fact that his wife died. They discharged the man. Union fought like hell for him, man. The guy had 38 years. What the settlement was, you get to retire with your pension. Take it right now.
Then he should have contacted a lawyer, and he should have sued the fuck out of him right then and there.
I'm not going to argue.
It's bullshit.
And I'm telling you, sis, that's true. We called him Farmer, so everybody from my plant, you know who the fuck I'm talking about when I say that name. Because I know there's a bunch of you people from my plant that are in the switchboard that are too pussy to push one.
Ooh. Oh. Look out.
I'll say something. I've been thinking about this for a couple of days. Been stewing on this. When this thing started, we heard about strategy and faith and are you ready to rumble and eat the rich, and things sounded good. They did. But I keep going back to strategy, and this is just me, and there's a lot of smart people that listen to this show. So I'll ask you to put your thinking caps on, and we're going to have another show tomorrow night, and we're definitely going to have a show Sunday night. My question to you is, what if this is a strategy? and I say this hesitant, but not for us, but at us.
Scott, I agree, because it's going to make us, because they did this by eliminating tiers with wage, it's going to make this membership greedy, I think. We're trying to get back what we want. That's my humble opinion, but I've been worried about that too. I think if it did get voted down, we'd be talked like dogs.
That's what I was talking about yesterday. And then again today, though, this campaign was done very well to keep collective control of a militia labor force. Keep us contained within, hey, we gave you a good contract, but we drag out a strike forever to get a great one. Go back to work and media will have limited access to get employee response on their views of the tentative agreement. And the highlights are presented publicly, and you use the media attention that out there. And again, if we were to vote it down in the democratic process, we're not to be interfered with for the voting or whatnot, that that would make us look greedy. It very much would. For those who read and discuss, like we're discussing, the tentative agreement, the lowlights, it would make us look greedy for trying to put out there that this might be a good contract, but it's not a great contract. It does not end tiers. And just like I said, I remember enduring a live by the UAW president a while back, since we've been on strike, that, hey, look, Teamsters ended tiers. They most certainly did not. They might have ended some wage tiers, but they did not end tiers. So, in my opinion, this is to control the labor force.
Yes. So, my question is, not to sound like a conspiracy theorist here, but you need to look at this and figure out why they're doing what they're doing and why they're making it look so good, why they're doing it to you. I look at the pensions. Ford's getting a $295 a month increase into their monthly pension with $5 added on to the service over 30. Stellantis doesn't have the $295 a month added to their pension, but they get the $5 for over 30, which would be $1,800 extra a year. So there's some difference.
That's if they're over 30, right?
Yeah, and if I have to sit here and look at it, and the retirees will get a some kind of a, I don't know what it is, that they're going to get $500 a month, or I mean a year, I'm sorry. Retirees will get $500 a year and their surviving spouses. Now, I don't know if that's going to come in a form where they could tax that or if it will come in a gift card. I don't know. But they're very closely mirrored to Ford, what I can see right now.
Does it say and? Because mine's got a slash. It just says spouse, you know, member or surviving spouse. So I was taking that was one or the other.
Right, yes. It'd be the active member who's retired, or the retired member who will get the $500. And if they are deceased and their surviving spouse is still alive, then they'll get that. That's where I read that also.
Okay, cool. Because there was a few things I read. I was shocked. Like, you know, I believe I read where, say, God forbid, my wife passes away before I do. And the way I've taken it, I was told that under the new agreement, you would get that money back. Where if that happens now, I would be screwed and all everybody else who did that. Because, you know, I mean, hell, that was a big cut for me. I mean, it was like almost $300 a month. I'll let it go on that.
Do a hard recap on this until we actually look into the white. It's not really the white pages, so to say, or the master catalog or the contract, we're going to call it. They got the changes are together. And until I can look at those, I'm just looking at the highlight right now. Until I can look at that and see what some of the other stuff that's in here. We know this for a fact so far that as far as pensioners go, for Solanus, there isn't a monthly increase in your pension. Unless you have over 30 years, then they're going to add another $5, which will equal up to $1,800 a year, which I think is an insult. There is no COLA for pensioners. For the in progression or tier two, again, there's no kind of pension. So when you are done with your job at that employer, you just simply quit and you have no health care. There's no mention about the health care for the people who got hired in late in 2007 who don't have a, do have a pension, but don't have health care. There's no mention of that also. So we've left some people out of this, including the seniority worker or the traditional worker. We're just, I don't know. It's just, this is just some of the things we're seeing right now. You know what I mean? Anybody? Hello?
What I did think about, Scott, is everything that was gotten, board pensions, every one of them people on that podium are going to be big recipients of it as well. They negotiated again for things that benefit them, but not to bring the membership up to the equal as it is. And what was that object to? You know, we're supposed to make it all equal, and we're not. We wanted to end tiers. We're tired of discrimination. That's wage and everything else, people. What part of that message didn't they get, Jesse? Come on, slap me upside the head, please.
How about the people who go back to 2003, 2006, when we open up our contract to help float that future dollar an hour raise that we were supposed to get in a couple of months from that point. We open up our national agreement to help start the very first VEBA. We give that up. What about all the stuff that the seniority workers from back to, let's say, the year 2000? We've not been made whole. We gave up a whole lot before they even brought the temp system in. You know what I mean? Just saying, there was a lot of sacrifice.
The office, they keep comparing this to this 2019 tainted agreement. Even the judges agreed it was tainted. Why the hell would you say was it historic? I would say it's a good contract. It's not a great contract by no means because you still have discrimination in your own membership.
All right, like I said the other night, what's zero? What you know? What's zero times? Still zero, right? You didn't get shit in the 19 agreement. They go four times that. Well, we didn't get the same shit, you know, but times four. Just thoughts. People, you need to be forward thinking on this. Take the dollar signs off the table and look at what you're going to get. Some of these people are going to vote themselves an $11 an hour pay raise, and in a matter of a month, they're going to find themselves on the street because they're going to get laid off because we're going to be at over capacity on some of these plants. Just a thought.
Well, they've done it before. How many times have they lied to them? How many times have you been hearing the story, oh, my God, they tell me to vote for that, and my clock reset. I lost $5 an hour. You know?
That's why I was stressing the fact that when you have the largest, you know, using visual aids to show you the largest percentage, 168% for those that are going to get converted, that they can that they'll increase their earnings by 168% throughout the life of these agreements. That that's where the bulk of the money's going. That's also going to the lowest seniority conversion. What happens when you make restructuring plans, which the companies do ongoing every year? I mean, they cut jobs in the last quarter every year. That's what that appeases the investors, that you cut jobs out in the production process. So what happens? The company's going to save money on that contract that was sold to be X number of dollars. Right now, these contracts are being sold in public eye, and analysts will say, wow, what a great outstanding contract. The companies are forking over major, major billions for it. But there's also the other side of the fence that won't get reported on. Just how much are they going to save throughout the contract? Because it's coming. They get their money back out of what they put into a contract.
Absolutely. And
they always have and they always will.
And on top of that, if you're a temp or if you're considered a full-time temp, they may be able to have you move. There may be an opening at this facility 75 miles away. We are offering you a job. You'll have to take it or you quit.
Or if they go and cut a shift.
Yeah.
I'm going to laugh at those motherfuckers. How's that $11 working out for you now? How's that $11 working out for you now? Because now you ain't fucking working. You were being greedy, and the only person you were thinking about was yourself instead of thinking about everybody as a whole and thinking about your future. You were thinking about the here and the now.
Very well said, sister. Very well said. Because you know what's sad about this? The company knows how big that voting group is, so they knew who to throw the biggest cookie at. And ironically, like Scott is, it is the group will be the first group to go, like it always has at every contract. They always load up before contract, so they have this ace in the hole. This is their political ace in the hole. We've seen it. How I remember this going on since the day of Whipsaw, Scott.
There's an end game here, and we just got to try to figure out how that strategy is being
used. You already know what the end game is. The end game is they want the legacy worker to die and go away. They don't want us to educate anybody on what they should be getting at the end of the game. Why would they not want a pension where you get $2,000 a month and then you get your Social Security on top of it? Plus, I got my money from my 401k that I invested on my own record. Come on.
And healthcare.
They don't want any traditional workers anymore. They want to get rid of them all. And then they want to take it back to where all the workers are just working 32 hours a week, considered them part-time, and don't have to pay them benefits, just like the government wants all the Vietnam veterans to die so they don't have to take care of them anymore. It's the same concept. Because
the traditional workers
are the biggest liability right now.
You just said it. That's why they use the term.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, that's why I was thinking, food for thought, that let's just say that if we have experienced bargainers across the big three that were bargaining these contracts for us, food for thought. Experience likely is associated with every one of those bargainers having exactly what would end tiers for these contracts for those that aren't bargaining these contracts, which would be the retirement, post-retirement, pensions, and health care, which that would close out ending tiers, and not just wage tiers, but fringe benefits. So So just think about that for those of you that are listening. Those likely that bargain for that contract that you're thinking about voting yes on, they get that, and they also get PSP, 401k. So
yeah. What I'd like some people to listen and think about, stay walking with us. I know $11 is a good cookie, but wouldn't you like to have a piece of pie? If you stick with us, man, you could probably come back at 19, would it be, Scott? 19, 23, somewhere in there? But, yeah, yeah, walk with us a little bit farther. We got you another 250 a week. Come on, think about that. You've already been hungry at 250, and we did that. It sure the hell wasn't them pricks downtown. They fought us. I'll let it go.
What about restoring the traditional workers to where they should have been all along?
BL Rose wrote in the chat room, they aren't breaking down the temps working correctly, or wording correctly. So all these people are believing they are getting hired in, and that's not true either.
Correct. I know exactly what that person that wrote that is speaking on.
But that three consecutive months, and that turns you into permanent.
Adrian, it's referring to probably just accidentally misspoken words of President Fain on the live, his last live for the Ford tentative agreement, talking about it was between the 5 and 7 minute mark where he spoke about temps and conversion 3 months and 9 months. And for the 3 months, without pulling it up and playing it right now, word for word, it was mentioned all temps, not a classification of the temps, but all temps would be converted to full seniority and benefits if they had 90 days. And then, so basically, it was a misunderstanding or misspoken words leading into the next part, talking about the 9 months for temps. And that's, I believe, what that person is talking about, because
it's
been questioned at my local about it.
Well,
it's
how fair is that that you're 90 days in at ratification and you get brought in full time, but the other ones that aren't, why do they have to wait 9 months? That's not fair. If you're going to hire these temps full time, make them full time at ratification, period. And bring the traditional workers back to where they should have been all along. The people are too fucking stupid to open their eyes and look.
I agree with you, Melissa.
Well, and if you bring everybody back to where they should be, everybody, like Jimmy said, they're going to get a piece of pie versus a cookie.
The people don't want a piece of pie. They want to get fucked up the ass. And you know what? When it happens, I'm going to say, here's your change.
Was it chocolate chip or sugar?
Yeah.
And you ain't getting no lube either.
Well, they bought it last time. They're buying it. They'll buy it this time.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. You are so right.
Can I read something that I can't, or that was
no.
posted on Facebook?
No.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I just wanted to say no, but go ahead.
Okay. It says, what do traditional workers want? They want restored what was taken 15 years ago as promised. They want a significant pay raise at ratification that it should have been around $49 an hour today, plus 3% annual increase. They want everyone hired after 90 days and progress to top pay within 2 years. They want pensions restored for all. They want pension increases that were frozen 20 years ago. They want retirement health care for all. They want real COLA. They want increases in real COLA for current retirees. This would eliminate tiers and make everyone whole. Remember, if you aren't willing to fight for those who came before you, then don't expect those who come after you to fight for you.
Hear, hear.
I like that. That's right. That is.
I am worried about Scott said. Think they might be trying to. I don't know how to say this without discrimination in my humble heart. Are they trying to make a UAW gypsy, Scott? Because it looks like all the contracts have really enhanced the relocation allowance money.
So if they do
have to offer you a move, I seen in the Ford agreement that went to $37,500 from, what was it, $28,000? It was a big increase.
From $30,000.
Okay, but I mean, are they trying to create a gypsy again? Think about that. Because that's what they did with us as General Motors people, and God, Don, and I, and everybody else, Gene and Scott know about it. So, you know, like I said, I was fortunate. I actually hit three plants.
What is that, Missy?
I said I got $30,000 with my move when they cut a shift.
Yeah, it's 30. Was 30. So they're offering 37. Well.
Well, those costs have also increased. You know, and moving is not cheap, regardless, especially if you're moving way out of your area.
Well, yeah. With this new added job
now,
not
sure I mean, there is no area hired no more. They can put you anywhere they want now, can't they?
Yeah, I think so. Unless they stop it in this contract, I think they could move you to Texas. I don't think there's an area hire deal anymore like there used to be. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, I was going to ask, can you go in the green room with me for about 30 seconds? I wanted to tell you something.
Well, if I do that, I might not get back in, but I'll try. I wrote them and told them about every time I go in the green room, I can put you back, but I can't get back. So let me try. Let me call in first on my phone that way, because I added a half hour, Scott, wherever you are. Just let everybody know.
I'm here. I put myself on mute.
Okay.
When you go to the green room, I'll talk for a minute. Relocations amounts did go up, and some of that is language specific. I didn't see anything about the parts suppliers, unless I was wrong. That'd be Mopar. Coming up under the master agreement?
Yes, Mopar is a part supplier for Stellantis.
Right. I think they fall under the master agreement now. Like I said, I'm
they
trying to go
through.
They said
they were going to bring their wages up to whatever the Stellantis wages are.
Right. Right. Yes, that's what it looks like for the, I see the immediate wage increase for Mopar. So that would probably, that would pull that them underneath the master agreement. So, and they're doing the same thing. They're adding the ratification bonus and a projected amount of COLA estimate. That $8,800 is not for 1 year, folks. That $8,800 is supposedly supposed to be over almost 5 years. So, just to let you know, that chart can be a little bit misleading. You know, until you see the actual. Go ahead.
I have a couple of questions. Because I don't know. I'm a little confused on some things. This voucher, $1,500 voucher, does
yeah.
that mean that they'll no longer give the $3,500 that they were giving?
That's a good
or
question.
Or is that in addition to?
It might be in lieu of. You know, like I said, they want you
yeah.
to lease a vehicle, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to, because I see nothing about that, that you will still retain that. You know, I didn't see that. And, oh, damn. I'm having one of them senior moments.
That's okay.
Yeah,
you can have them. You deserve it. You earned
question.
It.
Yeah, I had another question about something. Oh, I'm just, it'll come back, yeah. and I'll come back and ask it.
That was called brain fart.
I think I'm back.
Yeah, it's a real brain fart. That's for sure.
Hey, they fixed my green room. What do you know about the Jesse?
Right.
You back?
What I don't understand is knowing these people won't have post-retirement health care, that alone should, like I said, please walk with us, man. I'd love you to get a $19 piece of cake and a pension and whatever you can put away with now that you're getting 19 more bucks an hour. You don't need their contribution. Make your own investments. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell these people, but, you know, sometimes you can't go after the first cookie, you know. That first one might be painted John Deere. It took them three times, but they got it.
Well, my
I remember my other question.
Oh.
It had to do with the $50 a year over 30. So now it's gone to $5?
$55.
It's up $5.
So, in addition to the 50.
Correct.
Right. It's up. Right. So it will give you. It says right here in the language, it'll give you an additional $1,800 a year.
First raise since 2003.
So much.
Yeah. It says traditional employees. For current legacy employees, we want a $5 increase to life income benefit, which will result in an increase of $1,800 a year to future pensioners. We also negotiated an enterprise-wide buyout offering, and it goes into the buyout language. But there is no increase to your
you guys, Jesse just sent me this, and between 5 minutes and 7 minutes, Jesse, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. I'm going
to
play it.
And that's
it
in response to B.I. Rose sending you that email talking about how some temps are confused on something that was announced during one of these lives, which happens to be from 2 days ago when the GM agreement, tentative agreement was announced in the video with Vice President Mike Booth and President Sean Fain, that there was just, apparently it was clarified at our local that it was misspoke on the first part of that all temps would be converted after a certain time when that was clear. Yes.
Okay.
Some lower-tiered workers at GMCH will see their paychecks increase by as much as 89% at ratification. Similarly, lower-tiered workers at CCA will see their pay jump by as much as 79% at ratification. And we have slammed the door on having a permanent underclass of temporary workers at General Motors. At ratification, all temporary workers with at least 90 days of employment will be converted to full-time seniority employees. These temporary workers will see raises between 51 and 115% immediately upon ratification. And moving forward, all temporary workers with 9 months of employment will be automatically converted to full-time seniority employees. These are huge steps forward in our goal of ending tiers, which have eroded our solidarity and our dignity while making these rich companies even richer. We also brought another group of workers into our agreement who we were told could never be brought in. After they said for months that it was impossible, we did the impossible. Altium sales workers will now be under our master agreement. The significance of this cannot be overstated. Right now, the future of our industry is being defined. We stopped GM's race to the bottom.
Don, that's good. We're already,
I don't care if you
we heard it.
Okay. All right.
So
there you go.
Did everybody hear why? That's pretty much why B.I. Rose sent that email, because that was mentioned in live. It was heard by enough people, especially those that would affect, which would, when you say all within 90 days, well, we have part-time temps.
All the ones they rolled. What about all the ones like at my facility? They rolled them all back before, during this part of the contract where plants went on strike and we didn't have a contract. They rolled back probably 400 temps that were 32 hours or 40 hours a week at my place, 32 hours a week, which screwed them because most of them already had 90 days in it. It's 40-hour-a-week temps.
That's after we went on strike?
Yeah. Which you had no contract at that point because he nullified the contract. So now are they going to backdate that to bring them people that were 40 hours a week back so that they have the opportunity? We're not talking
Bruno.
About
our, the biggest
we're
red flag I see is
people. We're talking about a couple hundred.
Yeah, well, the biggest red flag I see here is at the end game, people. We went from 90 days to 9 months. That's freaking huge. From this point on, it'll take 9 months.
In writing under the Ford, it's right here. In writing, those who do not have 3 months of continuous service will convert upon reaching 9 months of continuous employment or if there is a full-time need at the facility, following the preferential placement hierarchy, whichever happens first. So it is in writing. So.
Wow.
I don't know. That is on, I think either page numbers.
One, I don't know if we should even tell them. They don't read. Shit, I say that out loud.
It's like 10. Stellantis is different. Stellantis says that within the first year of the agreement, 3,200 SE will be converted to full-time. After that, an SE has 9 months of service, and SE will automatically have full-time status. If they are not being scheduled, they have the option to volunteer at other locations. Difference. I know. Everybody's scratching their head. They're all thinking about it.
Well, you were reading, Scott, you were reading from the Ford tentative agreement just now.
Right.
That email that was sent
to Don would reflect
the GM.
No. The last one I read was Stellantis. The first one I read was Ford. Ford.
Okay, gotcha.
Ford, Ford says that if they don't have the 3 months of continuous service, they'll convert upon reaching 9 months. And then Stellantis says that within the first year of the agreement, 3,200 SEs will be converted to full-time. After that, they have to have 9 months of service, and they'll automatically have full-time status. And if they're not being scheduled, they'll have the option to volunteer at other locations. Oh, and SE stands for supplement employees. So let's call it what it is. Temporary workers.
The middle button, you can pass for it if you've seen this.
What's
did.
That?
It,
Hello. Hey, that's Bob. Brother Bob.
Time is kind of of the essence if we're going to try and stop the bleeding here, because if we're going to focus on Ford, we need to get something out with all the negative aspect of this contract for Ford specific people, which we're almost out of time with already. Then we have to hit Stellantis and GM in accordance with all the negatives and all the things we're bringing up in a sheet. And you know what? Whether we got to send people to every plant, you know, to hand out a sheet for questions to ask so they get the proper answers and they can make a logical decision on this, we ain't going to stop it. It's going to pass.
Right. Right.
Well, right. That's why, another reason, Scott, that's why I'm furious. When he sat there and said right on social media, he would give us a good ample time. I believe he said a week. I could be wrong, but he didn't say we. And now, in some cases, you're asking people to vote before you've even rolled it out at their local.
Well, that's what they're doing at our plant in Fort Wayne. They're not voting on it until this coming Sunday, and then our informational meeting is Thursday the 9th, and then we're voting on it after that. That's not enough time to go through all 800 pages.
That don't surprise me with Richie.
No.
Wow. That's some quick.
He's gonna come to the table and say, this is the best thing next to sliced bread.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's done it before.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is get the first paragraph of the highlights.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can put
the message from the UAW.
You're right, Adrian.
The biggest thing I see is they're pushing learned helplessness, as we used to be told, Scott, if you think about it, and then they'll still take the Vegas cut and make you think they did the thing. I think what they've done is they've orchestrated one of the best movies we've seen in a long time. We thought they were good at the convention. Some bitch, I was wrong.
Right.
They're making Hoffa look like a saint.
Yeah, and for those that might be listening that might believe that all of us are ungrateful or whatnot, no. What we're talking about and exposing are lowlights. They are facts. So if you read, it might change your opinion on just seeing the money. So we're not talking out our asses. We're talking from the lowlights. The stuff that you have to read that you might be giving up in place of getting some raises throughout the contract.
So it is safe to say, after looking at both fees, safe to say this is pattern bargaining. And if this is true pattern bargaining, you went after the weak kid. I hate to say it. You went after the weak kid.
Now, on the wage scales, because we know that these tentative agreements are not to end tiers, on the wage scale portion, we can't deny that we are lifting the tide of the person working next to us that's making pennies to the dollar of say us that are working online. So we are lifting the tide of them on wage tiers. But beyond that, like I've said, my opinion is this is not ending tiers.
And leaving the traditional behind.
Right.
So like we were talking in the past about traditional versus in progression, tier 1, 2. And then talking about subsidy plants and companies that are tier 3 wages, you know, tier 2 is to phase out tier 1 over time. So tier 3 would phase out tier 2 over time. So that has yet to play out in its entirety because you got to get, you know, you got to wait for Tier 1 to retire. But something I heard in the live tonight, I've talked about this in the past, listening to wording means everything. Just like Adrian said in the past, if it's written in the contract, it should be enforced as written. It should be interpreted as written. It should not be subject for interpretation after it's ratified. But having said that, if you go back and listen to the live tonight, I heard in progression. That's signifying we're keeping tiers. There should be no traditional. There should be no in progression. There should be no temps if you ratify this other than those that are not qualified, if it's part-time, temporary, to move forward. So there should be no speaking of in progression. And if we were ending wage tiers upon ratification, we would all start at the same new wage, and then you graph chart from there, everybody's raise going forward throughout the contract. And when you add 52 working week language for a raise in the contract, aside from defined dates to get another raise, that is not everybody will end on the same pay scale at the end of the contract. That is, you have the opportunity. If you are on a leave of absence, that puts you back for every amount of every week that you're out on leave of absence on that 52 working week raise, which would be for in progression status employees that aren't already topped out prior to this new contract, and as well as any layoffs that come. And some plants get a lot of layoffs. So, and we have to believe that every single person that might get laid off for a length of time due to the EV transition and what's going on with that, that you are in fact going to have an offer to go somewhere where you can continue undisrupted employment to allow you to get to those wages that are promised to be at by the end of the contract. You know,
well,
and
no
I know
company,
that what we – go ahead.
I was going to say, no company hires a new person at the top wage. There is always an in progression for a top wage, always. Any company, I don't care if it's McDonald's, Taco Bell, GM, Ford, there's always a starting wage and a top wage. And you work your way up by putting in your time.
It used to be 90 days. It used to be 90
days. In 90 days, you were a permanent employee.
And top wage of your classification.
Right.
18 months.
90 days, we were top wage of our classification.
My point was entirely missed.
A year and a half. So if you turn to everybody over ratification.
I think the 93 agreement is when we went to that, I believe, or 92.
Scott hired him in 85.
In 90 days, Scott was whole.
No,
he was paid.
I was a seniority person. I was a permanent employee at 90, but I didn't get my top pay scale for 18 months. When you got hired in, it was 90.
Hey, we were, hell, I didn't think that went in until like 91 or something right around there because, I come in at 90 days. I came in, I was an assembly, that's what I got paid. And seniority and hours were always the deciding factor.
When I started, for 90 days, I started lower wages than the regular workers. And when I got my 91st day, I got back pay, whatever it was.
We didn't get back pay, Don. We didn't get back pay. In fact, my first 30 days, I'll never forget, I hired in at $3.69 an hour.
I hired in at $6.
And at the end of 30 days, I got raised up to... God, I think it was like $4.70, and then at 90 days, they came out and handed me my Social Security card. Management did, my foreman, and told me I was a seniority worker when I finally made it the second time, because at my plant they played a game firing you at 90 days, 89 days at lunch.
Yeah.
And then hired you back before lunch, so you would never lose any money. You just lost 89 days of seniority.
They were doing that at Buick, too.
That was really big in my plant in Detroit.
We've got about 4 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead.
But I'm sorry, I didn't know that it kicked in that early, Scott. I was thinking they didn't. So then you know who brought that on to us is where the corruption started. That started, you're telling me, with Stephen P. Jokic.
Yep.
The man that died at the table at Thanksgiving when he found out his old lady was finally going to divorce him. Oh, boy.
Some food for thought.
Oh,
go ahead.
They'll never get rid of temps.
No.
You can't.
Nope.
Because who's going to replace people when you have an abundance of absenteeism?
Management.
So they're going to go back to the traditional temp that they had.
Right. What I did find.
Yeah.
I think you misunderstood my point about that. I'm very aware, any job, union or not, that if you have the ability to get raises, that there's a time frame. What I am saying is, if you want to close the gap, we are going into a new agreement. So myself, I'm going to get raise increases throughout this contract. I start with the lowest, which would be whatever raise comes upon ratification. That is what I'm talking about. Everybody across the board should start out at that bottom wage upon ratification, not based on your classification and where you were at prior to this agreement. That's what I was talking about. And then you go from there to max out as one, instead of having all these damn different charts based on who you are and where you're coming from. So starting at the lowest wage upon ratification, that's for those that were already topped out, starting that off for everybody and then going from there on one wage scale diagram, not having all these depending on where you're at, because that always causes more mass confusion. How does this apply to me because I have an individual situation? And believe me, it gets talked about the entire length of a contract every time. You know, how does this affect me? How does that affect me? And you can ask those questions at a meeting, but let's be real. Everybody has their own story on and understanding of where they fall in all these wage progression scales. If they started everybody at the same new wage contract.
Yep. I have to interrupt, Jess. We're going to do a show again tomorrow night for the other rollout. If you get a chance, PDF page 221 of the Stellantis white pages are there. That talks about the memorandum of understanding for the temporaries, the TPTs, and the TFTs. It's in there. It's all new language. So go look at it if you get a chance. And we'll see you tomorrow at 7 before we get hung up on, right?
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll find out the rest of the story. Be the same as the first two stories, I got a feeling.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody have a good night and stay safe. And we'll talk to you tomorrow night with the General Motors rollout. Hey, thanks for sending me emails, guys. I appreciate that.
Good night.
Jesse, Gene, send me the link tomorrow. That's the only way I can get my email. All right, guys. See you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. No, you can't scare me. I'm sticking to the union. the Union till the day I die. I'm striking for my rights to have a quality life. I won't be swayed at night or day to work for less or lower pay. I'll walk the picket line, I'll carry my strike sign. I'll win this fight, I know I'm right, cause truth is on my side. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union, I'm sticking to the Union. No, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union till the day I die. Covidian thinks they're tough, but they're not tough enough to break my will. I've had my fill of the lies they tell when they spread their stuff. I'll stand my ground, I'll stand up proud. I won't be fooled by company stools, I will sing out loud. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union, I'm sticking to the Union. No, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union till the day I die. No, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union, I'm sticking to the Union. No, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the Union. I'm sticking to the Union till the day I die. No, you can't.